These people are unbelievable. Are they looking at the same guy we're looking at?
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. The water damage whisperer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Mr. Microphone Adjuster, Ira Kaufman.
We got Saturday Night Fever. That's what we got right
here. We are here late at the stadium, and we're presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. And they've got the summer sales event in the final days, but still, zero money down, 0% interest financing, zero payments for 90 days.
What else could they do, Steve? What else?
Complimentary maintenance, and you got the Ira Kaufman discount on top of that. But really, they're known for their service. Fourth generation family dealership, Sean Sullivan, he's got that Ira Kaufman discount for you. He's the general manager. Just reach out to him, and all we can ask you to do is consider them first, BillCurryFord.com. Curry is the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Please check them out. They're fantastic on so many levels. And later we'll talk about our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. I know Josh Martin, owner, Florida's Elite Restoration. He was at the game tonight. We saw him, some pictures anyway. Bottom line, five-star Google reviews. When you need restoration of any kind of emergency, flood, water damage. Ira knows all about water damage, fire, mold, storm damage.
Did he do any repair to Section 309 of the stadium or anything?
Oh, there's a lot of rain out here tonight, for sure. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. So, I'm Steve Isbitz. Lee DeCamper is here, and we are JoeBucksFan.com, as everybody knows. I think they do. We appreciate all your support. Everybody listening on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict. Our numbers continue to soar like
an eagle. like an eagle. You might as well turn this thing over to me right now, Steve. I'm ready to fly for 90 seconds.
All right. So, look, Ira's ready to go. Preseason game that's just done. People in these other booths here are looking at us funny. And not everybody likes this around
Dave Moore's giving us dirty looks, is he?
Ira, let it rip, buddy.
It was an ass kicking. For example, Lee, the first quarter, when the Bucs had a few starters out there, the Titans had the ball for less than a minute. Less than 1 minute. Bucks plus 14 minutes. A little lull when Tennessee did a few things, and then the Bucks took care of it. A banner night for the Buccaneers. Injuries, fairly minimal. I don't think they're particularly worried about Rashad White. That's my information. That's my information. Inside information.
Well, it looked bad in a sense that, you know, when he's pointing to his groin, Steve suggested that.
Well, you did that last night, and I'm not worried about
well,
you.
Well, Steve stated he witnessed Rashad White. I thought he was pointing to his groin. Steve said he was doing something else that mimicked something I can't describe on his podcast.
We don't want to talk about it. It was a heck of a night. Now, let me say this, Steve. Let me hasten to add that, when January rolls around, the Titans are going to be 4-13. They stink. Cam Ward didn't look bad. He didn't look bad. I know Lee's going to say, what's he doing? The middle of the field's wide open again. Here we go.
No, I'm not going there.
And I'll accentuate one aspect, and I'll turn it over to Lee. They ran the ball extremely well. They ran it a lot, and they ran it well. Sean Tucker, who I think, without getting carried away, might end up being another Jason Light find. Undrafted kid.
Not really a shock.
Nobody drafted him.
Nobody drafted him because he had health issues.
He had pretty good numbers at Syracuse. Anyway. Yeah. He ripped off a 20-yard run tonight, and they really ran the ball exceptionally well in the second half. So, would back up offensive linemen. So, I think it was a really good – I'm giving him an 8 tonight.
Since you mentioned offensive line, the second-team offensive line, as I've written several times in my practice notes, they do not look good at all. They look terrible. And that continued tonight.
Well, they protected Trask well enough for Trask to have a pretty good night.
Well enough, but did you see him running? Did you see him jumping
around? On occasion.
Yeah, he was. I mean, it wasn't like he was sitting back there ordering a pizza. He was hassled.
But I think they only got one sack, Tennessee.
But they pressured him. They chased him out of the pocket. I don't like the second-team offensive line. However, when you refer to the running game, the third-team guys, they were getting a job done. Now, granted, they're going up against Amazon drivers and short-order cooks and data entry specialists.
Journalists.
Or people with journalism degrees, let's put it that way. So those guys looked okay, but you got to factor in who they were facing. None of them are going to be on an NFL team, short of a rash of injuries. And, oh, by the way, if you're a third team on the Titans, you better not have football in your future. You better be planning on it.
We're not going to read too much into this, Lee. But for one night, it was a good night.
I'm more into the individual stuff. For example, Sean Tucker, you bring up Ira. Why the hell was he in the game with 5 minutes to go? I mean, he's your number two running back right now until Rashad. I know you said they're not worried about Rashad White, but until he gets healthy, groin injuries, they're nasty. And so Tucker's your number two back. Certainly they don't want Bucky Irving on the field for a whole game. I just thought that was reckless.
Especially when they were running so well with other players.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Chris Braswell, come on. You're going up against...
Good night for Ryan Miller.
You know, he always, and I've written this already, he always makes plays in practice. And it's going to be very interesting. We always talk about how deep the receiver room is. Right now, I don't know if it's very deep. And the reason why I say that is Trey Palmer, who was incumbent punt returner, he's watching Miller make plays in the sidelines in street clothes. Tez Johnson, who everybody has high hopes for, he too, a seventh-round pick, he too is watching Ryan Miller make plays while he's in street clothes on the sidelines. Those guys, as well tonight, they were in street clothes. Ryan Miller's making plays. Now, punt return, Steve has mentioned this to me, and I've seen it in practice. They really don't have a punt returner.
I don't really want to say Ebuka back there.
No, and Mika Ebuka in no way should be returning any punt. No, just no. That's another reckless thing. I don't get that. I don't know if Ryan Miller can. I don't recall him ever seeing him return punts. By the way, APB, to the listening public, whoever's listening to us in the Vatican, in South Korea, in Cambodia, in Sri Lanka, if you can return a punt, the Bucks may have a job for you.
What'd you see on defense? What'd you see?
Well, I didn't see Chris Braswell.
All right, continue.
Shiloh Sanders is more physical than I thought, and I'm going to give him some props. There's a lot of fan interest with him. Real quick, he was playing catch with a little kid before the game, a guest. You know, he was behind the ropes. He was playing catch with him, and I thought that was cool. And Steve thought of Gerald McCoy, so I'll give Gerald McCoy credit. Shiloh Sanders is the most engaged Bucks player since Gerald McCoy as far as engaging with fans. He really likes hanging with the fans. The fans like him.
He didn't show up in a kimono tonight at the
He didn't show up in a kimono. He's more physical than I thought. I always thought he was a heady, smart player. No, he doesn't have the skills of his father, who does. But every week I see him improve. And now he's starting to make some physical plays, which impresses me.
I see this Parrish kid around the football league.
Love him. I think he's going to start there again. That guy, I don't know why he was in there in the second quarter. Why? He's going to be your starting nickel. As you said, Ira, he's always around the ball, which is a great sign.
Well, he needs work at the pro game.
Sure, he's a rookie. But the fact that he's always around the ball, and he often, not all the time, but often gets his mitts on the ball, I think he's got a nice future ahead of him.
Steve, you see anything out there, Stevie?
Yeah, you know, I didn't think Sean Tucker ran particularly well other than the big
run. Yeah.
After that, not too much, but I think the second team offensive line, I thought they played pretty well. I mean, they protected Trask. He did run couple of times, but he was 16 of 21, I think.
Trask had a good night. 12, made some good throws.
12 of 16,
129
sacked
yards.
Sacked once.
You know, he threw a nice pass to Ebuka. Now, I talked to Ebuka. I asked him straight up because so many people have different pronunciations. You don't pronounce the G. It's just Ebuka.
Ebuka.
No G. No
Ebuka.
G. Ebuka.
Okay.
Yeah. So I talked to. So anyway, good pass to Ebuka. Good pass to McMillan. You know, and then they left the field pretty much. And Trask was like, oh, no, who am I throwing to? I like these better players.
Wasn't there a section, Steve, maybe in the third quarter where they went to Culp five straight times or something? They were really looking for Culp to try to get him.
There was one drive where they kept going to him. He didn't catch everything, but he caught short stuff. They smoked him in yards. Like you said, Ira, on the ground, ran for 180 yards or something like that. They did move the pile, and, you know, Bulls have to be happy with getting some picks, even with the third stringers. It's who got the picks.
Tennessee's probably happy with Cam Ward. That's all they got to crow about. He looked pretty good.
And that's their biggest question mark. You got such an investment in overall number one pick. How's he progressing?
Bulls played a lot of guys, Steve, which is what he wanted. And other than the Rashad White setback, they came out pretty unscathed.
So let me emphasize, that's your information. They're not too worried about Rashad
White.
That's
my information.
So that's very good news because White, he ran and you could see him walking all weird and like trying to shake out his leg. And then he goes to the backfield. Next snap, he gets a handoff, runs for 3 yards, and he's dying.
I guess they'll do the MRI tomorrow, right, Lee? That's what they do.
It did look scary when he got to the sidelines. He immediately collapsed on the ground and started pointing or doing something else, as Steve claimed he did. That's all he did.
He was punching his groin. He was doing it when he was walking, and then And when he was on the ground, he was punching his groin.
If only you could have seen Steve mimic punching a groin, quote unquote.
Trask make a statement tonight, Steve? Is a statement game?
Trask, I think he planted his flag by saying, look,
I'm not giving this up easy.
I did what was asked of me. I made a couple of good throws. Todd Bowles praised him in the halftime interview on WFLA.
Praised him after the game.
Trask was interviewed on the sidelines in the third quarter when he was done and said he was pleased with his night, though there's, you know, he'd love to have a couple of plays back, a little tweak here or there, but he was pleased. And you know what? Look, we talked about it on the last podcast. The Bucs brought in Bridgewater because Trask hadn't been playing very well. That was also your information, in addition to what Lee and I have been watching.
He had a good night, Trask.
Yeah, so he did what he had to do. He didn't look like a superstar or anything like that, but he certainly looked like a NFL backup quarterback. And Bridgewater, I thought it was interesting that he and Mayfield were in uniform. Now, they had no plans to play him, but Mayfield, unlike most of the starters, was in uniform, and Mayfield was warming up. Yet you had Bucky Irving, Hassan Reddick, the first-team linemen, Mike Evans, all in street clothes. I thought that was interesting. Maybe Mayfield trying to show a leadership thing. I don't know. But they got the job done. I don't like the injury, though. I don't know why, as Lee said, why was Sean Tucker on the field running in the fourth quarter on a wet field
5 minutes ago
when he's currently, and that moment, your number two running back, and the guy's got a groin injury that you haven't even MRI'd yet.
And the other guy's running wild. You know,
Yeah. You got another guy, or you could just keep throwing to the tight ends. Yeah, but that's Todd Bowles. He does it over and over again. He does not like to pull players. He doesn't like to play scared. He would tell you, it's football. You can't worry. I don't agree.
See anything from the pass rush, including Braswell?
Well, I didn't see a pass rush from Braswell.
Well, anybody else?
No, but third team guys for the most part, I don't care. Maybe second team. I'm worried about guys who get on the field on Sundays in a couple of weeks. That's what I'm really worried about, for the most part. I will say that, and I'm with your feedback on this, Ira, to piggyback off of what you and Steve were talking about. Trask had a decent practice a couple of days ago against the Titans. I might be stretching things here, but do you think just bringing in Bridgewater may have done something for Trask, motivate
yes.
him?
Yes, I do. He's not naive. He's a smart kid. Been around, he knows the NFL and how it works now and how it doesn't work for him. He knew he had to raise his game. Good practice. And then tonight, Steve, to me, the most dismaying note of the night was when you put out that Benjamin Morrison's going to miss the preseason. That's a setback, Lee. Mm-hmm. That's a setback for Benjamin Morrison.
Yeah. Jason Light on the Buccaneers radio network was asked about Morrison, the cornerback, second round pick, and his hamstring injury. And Light said, something like, hopefully he'll be ready week one. So that doesn't sound very good. So I was able to, you know, talk to some people here in the know, and they don't expect him to play in the preseason. He's out for the preseason. They're being cautious with him. They don't consider it a major injury, but he's done for the preseason.
Lee, so, with his history, it's an eye-opener.
Yeah, but you know what? A lot of people with the team were glowing about him. I'm not saying he was practicing bad, so long as he didn't have to guard Mike Evans. That poor kid got lit up by him, you know, several times. But anyway, I always thought Parrish was a step ahead of him, maybe two steps ahead of him. Morrison, before he got hurt, like three or four practices before he got hurt, he was starting to make some plays, as long as he didn't guard Mike Evans. I thought Parrish was, again, a step, maybe two steps ahead of him.
I agree with that.
So I wasn't exactly thinking Morrison was going to win a starting job. I know people were floating that theory. I wasn't exactly buying it.
Even the observations from Bowles on Morrison and Parrish, they were stronger on Parrish.
Well,
Bowles.
You know, for the roster junkies out there, so Morrison obviously is going to make the team, no question about it, mm-hmm. but he's going to go into week one. Let's say he's ready week one. He goes into week one with no experience and very little practice time.
You're going to tell him to go cover Drake London?
So, no, he's not going to start.
No.
But if he's on your depth chart, you might want to keep an extra cornerback rather than get him forced into playing when he's barely practiced. So it's an interesting situation from that standpoint. That was the big news of the night. I'm glad Bucs fans got to watch Jacob Parrish because, you know, we've been writing about it. Most fans are not at practice, of course, and now everybody saw him. That the guy can play.
I'm always ragging on preseason, but that is the beauty of the preseason is, you know, we're seeing these guys 14, 15 times before they play the first game. And most fans, I'm glad Steve said most fans, the vast majority of fans, they don't see practice. So this is their first look at these guys in a Bucks uniform. So that's cool.
There are, I wouldn't call them niggling injuries, but it's like they're mounting. They're mounting. Like, what's going on with Otten? Nobody knows. Is he going to play in the preseason? Is he going to play?
He's only practiced twice, Steve. I think the first two practices, and that was it. He got light hamstring.
We know Godwin's shrouded in mystery.
Well, Otten's actually shrouded in mystery because I've tried to talk to him, and I've been shut down. Like, nope, we can't make him available since he's hurt.
Now, we don't think any of these are significant necessarily, unless you want to call Worf significant.
Well, the Godwin thing, you know, it's getting more and more mysterious, right? So today is August 9th.
Yes.
He's not yet running too hard.
I guess it flipped to the 10th now.
Yeah.
So he's not hasn't practiced, and he walks real fast. I can report that. He walks with purpose. But, you know, come on. They're going to be cautious with him. And
cautious with Worfs.
They got to be cautious. So the Rashad White thing, I take that very seriously. I can't call myself the biggest Rashad White fan in the world, but the guy scored 9 touchdowns last year.
All right, so
he's a very good number 2 running back, and you need 2. So
he misses 2 games, you get by. You get by.
Well, I want to see him be himself. Like he can't come back and be like, "Oh, I've been dealing with this groin all year." That's not going to be a good thing.
Plus, if he can't play, that means Bucky's getting more snaps. That worries me because Bucky's not Earl Campbell. And that's going to add up on Bucky, I think. And that, you know, let's be real. This team has higher aspirations than just winning a division.
If they think White's going to be out for an extended period, they'll pick up a running back.
But
they got Tucker. I understand.
Yeah, they got Tucker. But
I don't like it because the guy produced. This is not just.
He's in a contract year. So you figure he's motivated.
Yeah. To beat a dead horse. I thought it was ridiculous. You have an Amika Ibuka back there returning punts. Granted, it was a fair catch.
I'm a little queasy about it. Queasy.
Because of the Godwin deal. We don't know.
I'm hoping he was ordered to fair catch it. We don't know. And we'll leave it at that.
We should know more. Pittsburgh and a lot of the starters are going to play. Now, Lee, they'll probably play 2 series and yank them.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Now, we reported that just so people aren't. We're not speculating that. The starters are going to play in Pittsburgh, and that's sort of going to be.
And that's after a scrimmage.
While I'm thinking of it, Steve, when you mentioned Mayfield was in uniform, I think he's changed the street clothes at halftime or at some point in the second half because I saw him walking off the field. He was in street clothes. So I don't want to get.
Yeah, I saw him coming off too in the clothes, but he was suited up and warming up.
Yeah.
Here's another positive from the game. Again, it's August 9th. We're not going to read too much. Not a lot of mental mistakes, not a lot of penalties. I think that's significant.
Yeah, the only time there was some was when the truck drivers were playing. And they had, 2 touchdowns called back?
Yeah, a couple called back. For the fans who stayed up to watch that, I'm proud of you. Good job.
We've seen more sloppy Buck preseason games than this. And a lot more.
Now, you don't see sloppy when Florida's Elite Restoration comes out to your house. Because they're going to come to your home, your property, whatever it might be, after you call them 24/7 for any disaster. They've got all the experience on the insurance side of the business. So they know what to do and where how to proceed. And they will be your offensive coordinator if it's an insurance claim so you don't get ripped off. Get to their website, floridaselite restoration.com. Ask for the Ira Kaufman discount when you call. Say, hey, Sage and Joe Bucks fan told me to call. And then after they give you that free inspection, if you want to move forward with them to do your restoration and repairs, they'll give you $500 back.
And call them before you call the insurance.
Yes,
company.
Don't be foolish. Call them. You know, unless your house is on fire, of course, call 911. But you don't have to rush to call your insurance company within 6 hours. You can call Florida's Elite Restoration 4 hours before that and have them come out and assess what's going on so you don't screw up when you call your insurance company. And, of course, we always thank Bill Curry Ford. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com.
You know, Lee, as we speak from our perch right here, I'm looking into the northeast corner near the pirate ship.
Chucky.
There's Chucky.
Yep.
There's
Chuck. Dane's back on the Ring of Honor.
Right there, Stevie.
Yeah, you know, that came out in pictures from when Jason Light was at the Metallica concert and people were taking pictures of him in his suite. The backdrop was John Gruden. You know, you could see that he was up. So he's been up for a while.
Now he's talking about he wants to coach in the SEC. What's going on here? I don't see it, Steve. I don't see him in college.
I still say.
He doesn't want to bother with all the new rules in college.
Well, it's more professional than it's ever been. because they could pay guys now and bribe guys to flip schools. I still say that awful show, Big Ten kickoff or Big Noon kickoff, Chucky needs to be on there instead of Urban Meyer. Now that Barstool's running it, Chucky needs to be on there instead of Urban Meyer.
I say a good night all around for the Buccaneers. Hey, good night all around.
Real quick, we're talking about, you know, for the roster junkies, and we're talking, you know, I mentioned Trey Palmer and Tez Johnson. They're in street clothes while other guys are making plays.
Trey Palmer could be in trouble.
And so could Tez Johnson.
He's in big trouble.
Another guy in the same situation that sources within the Bucs were crowing, sort of, about Josh Williams, is that his name, the LSU running back? Well, there's a guy that's watching people make plays, and this Owen Wright character was going crazy in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
So there's another guy that, you know, some people in the Bucs organization thought might make the roster.
You know, Light's not in a hurry to give up on Trey Palmer, but he doesn't make the ultimate call in terms of who makes the roster or not. He doesn't have the final say.
That's Bowles, right?
That's the coaches. And, Palmer better get healthy. He better get healthy, quick.
I almost think they are in a hurry to get rid of Trey Palmer because
they need a punt.
They drafted two receivers, and they re-signed Shepard, and Palmer seems to be the odd man out, and he's hurt. Interesting thing to keep an eye on this coming week, because there were rumors that came out maybe 3 weeks ago, a month ago, that the Steelers were trying to trade for Trey Palmer, that there was interest there.
Don't get Buck fans excited. What are you going to get for Trey Palmer?
Well, nothing.
I'm saying if Palmer gets back on the practice field and he's able to practice in front of Pittsburgh, if any of those rumors were
ding,
real.
Ding, 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 ding.
If any of those rumors were legitimate, you know, and Tez Johnson gets back healthy or whatever, maybe, who knows, maybe we see Palmer dealt for a seventh-round pick and Jason Light will take any draft pick he can get.
I'm a little jealous of you going to Pittsburgh, especially you going to Primanti Brothers, have that nice salad with the honey mustard dressing.
I'm not going to urinate on the good people of Pittsburgh by doing that.
One of the Buck assistant coaches in the locker room
scolded me
because I happened to tell him unabashedly, I went to Primanti, but I ordered soup and a salad. What? I thought the guy was going to take a swing at me.
There's a buddy of mine in Pittsburgh I told that to, that you ordered a salad. His response was, he got punched, right?
Ira, Clyde Jacansey was on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and he was asked about the defense coming together and what they're building and trying to build on and et cetera, et cetera. Now, Cansey's a very serious guy for the most part, especially about football, but he's very serious, comes off as very serious. He starts going on a rant about how this all started in OTAs, and OTAs is where this defense came together, and some guys think you can skip OTAs and show up for little mini camp and then come take a vacation and come back. No, that's not how it works. You come to OTAs, blah, blah, blah.
Did he say that to Hassan Reddick's face?
He said it on the air. And it was pretty strong. And I know Cansey is probably one of the leadership faces going forward of this team.
He is.
It was very interesting knowing that Hassan Reddick didn't show up all that time.
Very interesting. And Lee, you got to fill in the blanks here, but the PFF tribe strikes again with Kalijah Cansey. What's the latest knock on Cansey? These people are unbelievable. Are they looking at the same guy we're looking at? What are these people doing?
The opposite or not.
I think the guy's on the edge of stardom.
To be fair, it's a couple of expatriates from the PFF tribe. They got pushed out, but they were a couple of the high priests.
High priests.
Sam Monson specifically on a Bucks preview that I watched 3 or 4 days ago referred to Kalijah Cansey, and I quote, a liability.
Steve, are you listening to this? A liability.
He's
one of the best young defensive tackles in the league.
I agree.
No, they're not my thing. I don't pay for a subscription.
And people wonder why I don't like their grades. There you go.
I think he's a tackle for loss waiting to happen. That's what I think. Steve, a good night for the Buccaneers. A good night.
Anything else that you liked out here?
Did you have the birthday cake?
No, it had Bill's name on it. I'm not Bill.
No. They were passing out slices there.
Oh, no, I missed that. And my birthday's Monday.
Well, better tell Brian Ford.
I'm turning 30, man. I'm telling you. I don't know where the time went, Steve.
Anything else you like?
The chicken tenders weren't bad.
Preseason football at its finest here. So your birthday plans, Ira?
Golf in the morning.
Tennis in the afternoon.
90-minute nap afternoon. And then going to Ybor City for dinner.
Oh.
Ybor City for dinner.
Spaghetti Factory?
No.
Columbia?
I can't tell anybody where I'm going. I'll have people after me over there.
Oh, Carmine's.
We're not going to Columbia.
Carmine's.
No.
No?
No.
All right. Top secret. You'll tell us afterwards. I guess how you celebrities see, roll.
Carmine's was a Tribune hangout.
I'm giving him an A. Am I?
Whoa.
Well, I mean, you know, it's preseason. I got to watch the tape.
There you go.
C plus.
Hey, Charlie Heck played a series. He made it through safely, so that's
Servassier
good.
Servassier Dennis played?
Servassier Dennis, let me mention him. So we talked on the last podcast. I said they may just trot him out there to see if he can get through the preseason because he's had so many injury issues. Now, I asked Bulls point blank, why was he out there when you said starters wouldn't be playing? Most starters wouldn't be. Yeah, I asked whatever I asked him. It was something like that. And Bulls said
he needs to work, right?
Because he's got the green dot, and he wants to get him used to that situation. He said, I need to have him be used to making adjustments without Levante David on the field, and I thought that was probably a big key, a way to test him that he doesn't have the professor next to him, Professor David, answering questions for him. But Rondae Barber on the television broadcast said that they want to see, he suspects, they want to see that Servassier Dennis is the guy they think he is. And now's the time to do it. So KJ Britt played all last summer in preseason, and he turned out to not be the guy they thought he was.
He's got much to prove, Lee, but they like his ceiling. They like his ceiling.
Sure. He, you know, when he has been on the field, he's been productive.
And Lee talked to him at his locker, and Dennis said he was very thankful for Todd Bowles playing him because he really wanted to play, and
yeah, he
really
snaps.
Wanted the work, and he
I
was very
to
grateful.
I talked to Deion Jones, Lee, after
did you?
The game, told him that I followed him closely when he was a Falcon, thought he was a hell of a player, which he was, told him I vote for the All-Pro team. That got his attention, and he can't say enough about being part of this organization.
Wow.
He just thinks it's a hell of a second chance for him. Now, look, he's not a starter. But one guy goes down, and next thing you're looking at
he's
is Deion Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Bowles likes him.
Oh, we always talk about guys who aren't practicing. Where's this Anthony Walker?
Still hurt. But Jason Light said something positive about Walker on the radio network. I don't think he's going to get cut. I think they want that depth and be very careful because of Dennis and his history, I'm assuming. But, didn't you think Jones a nice guy? Isn't he like a super incredibly nice guy?
Very nice guy. Very nice guy. I don't deserve him.
Whoa.
All right, so have a great birthday, Ira. I will say I went to an estate sale, Ira. You know what those are? You know, somebody dies.
I've never been to one.
Somebody dies and they sell all their stuff kind of thing. They advertise them around. Just happened to go to one, and I was looking for a saw.
You find an old Tribune laying around with my name in it?
Well, I got you a birthday gift from the estate sale. These things were rock bottom. And
keep it a surprise.
Interesting piece of memorabilia that
I
know.
Artifact? Would you call it an artifact?
I would call it an artifact of in amongst the junk that
and you picked it up?
Yeah, I paid $1 and I got it for you. So
wow.
I'll have to hand it to you. We'll take a picture.
Leave it to Isbitz to go to the high end estate sales. $1, please. Did you give him coins or did you give him a dollar bill, Steve? I can't wait to see what the president is.
Bottom line, Ira is happy with tonight's performance. Gave it an A, which I don't know. I'm a little surprised by that. But A it is. Lee, you got a grade or a final thought?
C+. They're playing the Titans, for crying out loud. If you're a third team on the Titans.
1-1, 45-0, Lee? What do you want?
Yeah, I mean, if you're like second or third team on the Titans, you're one step away from flipping burgers.
I'm going to give him a B+. I don't like the injury to White. I really don't.
The grade I gave, the reason why it's that low, it's not just the play on the field. It's decisions that were made. Ibuka returning punts, Tucker running the ball with 5 minutes to go, that kind of stuff. That drove me crazy.
All right, that's a wrap on the Ira Kaufman podcast. We finished recording last night after the game, about midnight, maybe a few minutes after, and we'll be back with a couple of episodes this week. Very excited about that. Bucks have a joint practice on Thursday with the Steelers, and then as we reported, the starters will play Saturday night. And feel free to leave a review if you're on a platform that accepts them, Apple Podcasts. Ira always likes to read those, and we can share them on the air. And keep reading JoeBucksFan.com. Thanks, Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, and Florida's Elite Restoration, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Go Bucks.